Tuesday, July 8th. The first reading from Genesis chapter 32, verses 23 through 33. In the course of the night, Jacob arose, took his two wives, with the two maidservants and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had taken them across the stream and had brought over all his possessions, Jacob was left there alone. Then some man wrestled with him until the break of dawn. When the man saw that he could not prevail over him, he struck Jacob's hip at its socket, so that the hip socket was wrenched as they wrestled. The man then said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go until you bless me." The man said, "What is your name?" He answered, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be spoken of as Jacob, but as Israel, because you have contended with divine and human beings and have prevailed." Jacob then asked him, "Do tell me your name, please." He answered, "Why should you want to know my name?" With that, he bade him farewell. Jacob named the place Peniel, "because I have seen God face to face," he said, "yet my life has been spared." At sunrise, as he left Penuel, Jacob limped along because of his hip. That is why to this day the children of Israel do not eat the sciatic muscle that is on the hip socket, inasmuch as Jacob's hip socket was struck at the sciatic muscle. Haydock Commentary. This man was an angel in human form, as we learn from Hosea 12:4. He is called God because he represented the person of the Son of God. This wrestling, in which Jacob, assisted by God, was a match for an angel, was so ordered that he might learn by this experiment of the divine assistance that neither Esau nor any other man should have power to hurt him. It was also spiritual, as appeareth by his earnest prayer, urging and at last obtaining the angel's blessing. By the angel harming Jacob in his sciatic muscle, it was to convince Jacob how easily the angel could have gained the victory over him, and to make him remember that it was not simply a vision, but a real wrestling. The name Israel was more honorable, and that by which his posterity were afterwards known, being called Israelites and not Jacobites. God ratifies the title in chapter 35, verse 10. It means a prince of God, or one standing upright and contending victoriously with God. The angel represses Jacob's curiosity in wanting to know his name, perhaps because God did not as yet choose to reveal his name, as he does in Exodus 6:3. Penuel signifies the face of God, or the sight or seeing of God. Jacob thus returns thanks to God for the preservation of his life after having seen God or his angel in corporeal form and not in a dream only. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 through 38. A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus, and when the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Haydock Commentary. He casts out demons by the prince of demons. What more foolish thing ever entered the mind of man? Is it possible, as he afterward says, that devils should be expelled by devils? They assist and strengthen, not weaken and destroy one another. Moreover, he did not only cast out devils, but he cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, appeased the storm, forgave sins by his own power, preached the eternal felicity of heaven, and brought back man to God, all which the devil never could, never would bestow upon mankind. So says St. John Chrysostom. His heart was moved with pity for them because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. The bowels of his compassion yearned to see multitudes cast down and oppressed like sheep that are without a shepherd. The Pharisees indeed were their shepherds, but they acted the part of ravenous wolves, not only neglecting to lead the people to virtue, but even hindering as much as they could their advancement in good. For when the admiring multitude cried out, "Never did the like appear in Israel," they immediately decried it, saying, "By the prince of devils he casteth out devils."